Holy Spirit, you're so amazing to us. You provide for us all the time in every way. Your splendor is amazing. Your majesty goes on forever. I thank you for the painted hills of California. I thank you for that America is going to be our backyard again. I thank you that the sky is going to be our ceiling. I thank you that you give us unlimited favor. You can't crawl behind me.
Okay, I'm trying to get up.
He's trying.
You can't be behind me. I thank you, God, for babies. You went to more? Oh, Soupy? Okay, let's go back
and see. She's pregnant.
Yeah, we thank you, Jesus, for the blessing of new children.
My mother is pregnant.
And clam chowder. All right, we're praying again. Okay. Who wants to pray?
Me.
Okay, go ahead, Lukey.
His name, peace of Christian, be good and blessed. Amen.
Amen. That was an excellent prayer. Cade?
In the name of Jesus Christ, please help us get to the kingdom.
Oh.
Jesus, you know I love. So why would you take that away from me?
Please get it for us. Please, God, please.
I want you to open your heart. Ask God, what do you want me to pray for today?
Having a good day.
Please. Okay, Hopi, your turn.
Amen.
Okay, Hope, now ask God, what do you want me to pray for? Mm-hmm. A victory. What do you want to pray for?
Who wants to pray for Eva? Say, praise God! Praise God! Skadnama.
Holy Spirit.
I got a plus.
I call down a miracle for Christine's body. I shout out a blessing to her body that she should be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I command all sickness and infirmity off of her in Jesus' name. You know, God, they're at the point where they're saying there's no more medical remedy. But I know that you are the great physician and the mighty healer. I pray healing on her and a miracle from heaven in Jesus' name. I also pray a miracle on Sierra and her liver. I ask God for miracle results in Mosky's blood work. I command all plaque to go away in Grandma's heart and that the thing in her brain would be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask God, I command the cell walls to be strengthened right now. Holy Spirit, you're in charge of this house.
Dear God, please help us get the next train in the Dragon Book. Amen.
You're in charge of the last house.
There's no milk.
Mama?
Did you know that there's no colors in
there? We thank you for setting aside a home for us and for leading us in the right direction, God. I thank you for perfect timing. I thank you for who you're sorting out for equipped for this next year.
I have a question.
In California and in Atlanta? Mm. I ask for your hand of protection and health on our families as we finish this year. On the community as we finish this year and enter the new year and as we're planning and in transition. Holy Spirit, guide us and help us in Jesus' name. What, Luke?
Why do tigers always attack?
So when I'm praying, I don't want to talk about other things.
Mom!
Thank you. Okay. Can you put your spoon in? Thank you. You will hold it? Okay. We're going to go to Psalm 25.
Can we do a video of Psalm 25?
I'm going to open up Logos, however you say it.
You're watching Joe Fist, weren't you?
Yes. We love Joe Fist.
Hey, it's not Joe Fist, it's Joseph.
You know, they're not biblically accurate.
Besides, his brothers were Superman.
Huh?
Yeah, but Joe Fist.
They betrayed him. They believed him. They sold him to slavery.
And they put him in jail. And that's how he made a bat walk.
Okay. I'll tell you the real account.
Of course we did. We did watch Joe Fist.
Okay. No, baby. Can I have? Thank you. Okay, listen. So this is in Genesis 30. Okay, so God answered Leah's prayers. And she gave birth for a fifth son for Jacob, and she named him Issachar. She said, God has rewarded me for giving my servant to my husband as a wife. And then Leah became pregnant and had a sixth son for Jacob. She named him Zebulun. Zebulun meant, God has given me a good reward. Now my husband will treat me with respect, for I have given him six sons. And later she gave birth to a daughter and named her Dinah. Okay, so what's happening is Jacob's wives are having children, and Leah and Rachel are competing over his attention, this husband's attention. And you know who the husband is? It's Jacob.
Jacob!
So then God remembered Rachel's plight and answered her prayers by enabling her to have children. So he opened her womb. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. God has removed my disgrace, she said, and she named him Joseph because she said, may the Lord add yet another son to my family. Okay, so do you understand who Joseph is?
Yeah.
Joseph came from Rachel, and Rachel for a long time couldn't have a baby. That's why he was so special to them.
Baby!
All right. Soon after Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, please release me so I can go home to my own country. Let me take my wives and children, for I have earned them by serving you. Sit. We don't stand at the table and we definitely don't jump. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because it's dangerous. Let me take my wives and children, for I have earned them by serving you, and let me be on my way. You certainly know how hard I've worked for you. And then, you know, Laban said, please listen to me. I have become wealthy, for the Lord has blessed me because of you. Tell me how much I owe you. Whatever it is, I'll pay it. And Jacob replied, you know how hard I've worked for you and how your flocks and herds have grown under my care. You had little indeed before I came, but your wealth has increased enormously. The Lord has blessed you through everything I've done. But now what about me? What can I start? When can I start providing for my own family? So Jacob is basically working like an indentured servant for Laban.
7 years.
Laban.
You're right. You're right.
It's
and
like
Laban said, what wages do you want? So Jacob had to decide. Jacob had to decide how to tell Laban what he needed to raise his family. So Jacob replied, oh, don't give me anything. Just do this one thing and I'll continue to tend and watch over your flocks. Let me. You dropped the baby through your markers or something over here. You might want to get him. And don't put them in his reach.
I love you.
Love you. Okay. He said, let me inspect your flocks today and remove all the sheep and goats that are speckled or spotted, along with all the black sheep. Give these to me as my wages. In the future, when you check on the animals you have given me as my wages, you'll see that I've been honest. If you find in my flock any goats without speckles or spots or any sheep that are not black, you will know I have stolen them from you. Okay, so why do you think this is a good idea for Jacob to do this?
It's a form of trust.
It's a form of trust.
And the good.
Who knows more about the sheep?
Bad.
Do you think Laban knows more about the sheep? Don't hurt him. Or do you think Jacob knows more about the sheep?
Laban.
You think? What is your proof that Laban knows more about the sheep?
He owns them.
But who successfully multiplied them?
Jacob.
So who do you think really knows more about the sheep?
Jacob.
So, do you think he knew there's more spotted or speckled sheep and black sheep? Or do you think he thought there's more pure white sheep?
Pure white.
I think he might have known there was more speckled. Okay, so, but Laban agreed. He said, it'll be as you say. But that very day, Laban went out and removed the male goats that were streaked and spotted. All the female goats that were speckled and spotted or had white patches, and all the black sheep. He placed them in the care of his own sons, who took them a 3 days' journey from where Jacob was. Meanwhile, Jacob stayed and cared for the rest of Laban's flock. So was Laban honest? No. He is such a bad guy. This is why it's terrible to work for somebody who's dishonest and bad. He's such a bad guy. So Jacob took... Okay. Jacob took fresh branches from poplar, almond, and plane trees and peeled off strips of bark, making white streaks on them. Then he placed these peeled branches in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, for that was where they made it. And when they made it in front of the white-streaked branches, they gave birth to young that were streaked, speckled, and spotted. Jacob separated those lambs from Laban's flock. And at mating time, he turned the flock to face Laban's animals that were streaked or black. This is how he built his own flock instead of increasing Laban's. So did Jacob cheat Laban? You think he cheated him?
No.
Do you think he cheated him? He put the... Somehow, I wonder if he got a word from God to do this. That he put the... It's very hard for me to teach with the baby being so loud. No. No.
You think he's ready?
I mean, he's pulling hair. He's hollering. But even if he's not, he's shouting. I'm trying to teach you guys.
Dad, I think that my seat.
Nope. Okay. Put the toy away, Hope. Whenever the stronger females were ready to mate, Jacob would place the peeled branches in the watering troughs in front of them. Then they would mate in front of the branches. But he didn't do this with the weaker ones. So the weaker lambs belonged to Laban, and the stronger ones were Jacob's. As a result, Jacob became very wealthy with the large flocks of sheep and goats, male and female servants, and many camels and donkeys.
What about Laban?
Laban was, like, dishonest. Jacob learned Laban's sons were grumbling about him. They were saying, "Jacob's robbed our father of everything. He's gained all his wealth at our father's expense." And then Jacob began noticing a change in Laban's attitude towards him. Then the Lord said to Jacob, "Return to the land of your father and grandfather and to your relatives there, and I will be with you." So Jacob called Rachel and Leah out of the field where he was watching his flock. And he told them, "Your father's attitude towards me has changed, but the God of my father's been with me. Shh. You know how hard I've worked for your father, but he's cheated me, changed my wages 10 times. But God has not allowed him to do me any harm." Okay, so then an angel came to Jacob in a dream. And the angel told Laban, told Jacob that God has seen him and gave him a message. So Rachel and Leah went with him. And they said, Laban has sort of disowned them. So he packed all his livestock. He put his wives and kids on camels, packed all his belongings, and went to Canaan where Isaac lived. Remember how Isaac was from Canaan and Joseph was from Canaan? So Laban was some distance away, but Rachel stole her father's household idols. This is a bad thing. Jacob outwitted Laban. They set out secretly and never told Laban they were leaving. But it's really bad. Rachel had the idols. Do we have any more Coke, Daddy?
Mom,
can I have one?
Mom,
God told Laban in a dream to leave Jacob alone. He warned him. But Laban did not listen to God. And Jacob said, "I went away because I was afraid and thought you'd take your daughters away." And then Laban went to search the, daughter's tents, and he found the idols. And she said to her father, "Forgive me." She sat on the idols.
Question.
What?
Can I have Coke when I'm 17 or 18?
Maybe.
Mom, can I have Coke when I'm 7 or 18?
Maybe.
7 or 18?
Okay. I'm trying to find... I'm sort of like derailed into the story. Okay, Jacob wrestled with God and fixed his... You remember the story how Jacob wrestled with God? God strained the tendon of his hip.
Yeah, that was in the church that the guy was...
You're right.
Mr. Ron was teaching
about. Mm-hmm. So, let me try to find more about... This is a... Jacob returned to Bethel.
Bethlehem.
Okay, and then I want to... Okay, Rachel went into labor. Her labor pains were intense. It was a hard delivery. And then the midwife said, "Don't be afraid, you're about to have... another son." Okay, I'm getting confused because I'm trying to find the story about Joseph. And it's taken me to the story about
Jacob and Rachel.
Yeah.
Yeah, just watch a video. Because then we know what's actually happening.
Okay.
Can we watch a video?
Okay.
Because we're just going to stare at different
Jacob things. Finally Whoa. Gets to Canaan. Joseph was 17, tending his father's flocks, and he worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But he reported to his father, his brothers were naughty. And Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children, because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. One day, Jacob had... Thank you. Be quiet, please. A special gift made for Joseph. It was a beautiful robe. But his brothers started hating him, right? Because their father loved him more than the rest. They couldn't say even one kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him even more, right?
It was dark, and he went on, and then he got attacked by wolf.
Well, it was about the grains, right? What happened with the grains?
They ran out.
He said, "We were in the field tying up bundles of grain, and suddenly my bundle stood up, and your bundles gathered around and bowed low before mine." All the other bundles worshipped his bundle. And his brothers responded, "So you think you'll be king over us? You think you'll actually reign over us?" And they hated him because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. And then he had another dream, and he told his brothers. He said, "Listen, I've had another dream. The sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed low before me." And this time he told the dream to his father and his brothers, but his father scolded him. "What kind of dream is that?" he asked. "Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you?" But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams meant.
He saw... Joseph's son told him.
He told him, yeah. And soon after this...
His brothers were jealous.
They were jealous.
And he threw him in a pit.
You're right. Joseph's brothers went to pasture for their father's flocks at Shechem. When they had been gone for some time, Jacob said to Joseph, "Your brothers are pasturing the sheep at Shechem. Get ready, I will send you to them." And he said, "I'm ready to go," Joseph replied. So in the movie, they twisted it, because in the movie, they made it sound like Joseph wanted to go, but his father sent him. Jacob sent Joseph. His daddy sent him to the field to work with his brothers. So the daddy, Jacob, said, "Go, see how your brothers and the flocks are getting along and come back and bring me a report." So Jacob sent Joseph on his way, and he traveled to Shechem from their home in the Valley of Hebron. So he had to travel a while. When he arrived there, a man from the area noticed him wandering around the countryside. "What are you looking for?" he asked. And Joseph replied, "I'm looking for my brothers. Do you know where they are pasturing your sheep?" "Yes," said the man. "They have moved on from here, but I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph followed his brothers to Dothan and found them there. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. And as he approached, they made plans to kill him. "Here comes the dreamer," they said. "Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of those cisterns. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams." So, you know, the brothers were plotting even when they saw him far away. But when
Reuben... They were planning the attack and kill him with a gun.
No, they were going to throw him in a pit.
And Joseph killed a scorpion.
A scorpion.
When his brothers... Okay, wait. When Reuben heard of their scheme... Reuben came to his rescue. "Let's not kill him," he said. "Why should we shed any blood? Let's just throw him into this empty cistern here in the wilderness. Then he'll die without our laying a hand on him." Reuben was secretly planning to rescue Joseph and return him to his father. So Reuben was actually a good brother.
I want a brother with Reuben.
Mm-hmm. So when Joseph arrived...
I wish I had a good brother.
You have good brothers.
He is always so mean to me.
He would be like Reuben, and so would Micah, and so would
Micah's
Victory.
Micah's nice to me.
Yeah.
So he's Reuben.
And he never plays with us. Micah actually never plays with us.
Yes, he does.
He only plays on the trampoline with us, nothing else.
That's good playing with you.
Well, so when I always don't play Legos with him, but he always says no.
You can ask him.
But he always says no when I ask.
Maybe he would say yes.
Mom, he always says no.
He has cool Lego creations.
Yeah, I love
him. Well, he never lets me play with him.
And you want him to play with you?
Yes.
Okay.
But he never plays Legos with me.
Okay.
He only, plays Legos with Key and nobody else.
Oh, he doesn't really play Legos with me anymore. And the reason he plays Legos with me is because I've seen a lot of his Lego creations. And so I kind of copy them, but then work them into something else.
Can you
so,
get Maverick out of the cabinet?
So it's still cool, but not the same.
He got himself stuck. No, he's in the second door. Thanks. Get him out.
He's actually stoned up.
So when he arrived, you know what they did? Uh-huh. They ripped off his beautiful robe. They grabbed him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty and there was no water in it. And when they were sitting down to eat, they looked up and saw a caravan of camels in the distance coming toward them. It was a group of Ishmaelite traders taking a load of gum, balm, and aromatic resin from Gilead down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain by killing our brother? We'd have to cover up the crime. Instead of hurting him, let's sell him to those Ishmaelite traders. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." And his brothers agreed. So this is another terrible idea, though.
Oh, terrible.
And Judah's going to have to pay for this later. So when the Ishmaelites, who were Midianite traders, came by, Joseph's brothers pulled him out of the cistern and sold him to them for 20 pieces of silver, and the traders took him to Egypt. And sometime later, Reuben returned to Joseph, get Joseph out of the cistern. Then he discovered Joseph was missing. He tore his clothes in grief. He went back to his brothers and lamented, "The boy is gone. What will I do now?" Then the brothers killed a young goat and dipped Joseph's robe in its blood. They sent the beautiful robe to their father with this message: "Look at what we found. Doesn't this robe belong to your son?" This is when they terrible lied to their daddy and made him so sad. And their father recognized it immediately.
And the mother was crying.
Yeah. Yes.
And they didn't like to see them like this.
He said, "It is my son's robe. A wild animal must have eaten him. Joseph has clearly been torn to pieces." And then Jacob tore his clothes and dressed himself in burlap. He mourned deeply for his son for a long time. His family tried to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "I will go to my grave mourning for my son," he would say, and then he would weep. So they broke his heart. Meanwhile, the Midianite traders arrived in Egypt, where they sold Joseph to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Potiphar was the captain of the guard palace.
Yeah,
Potiphar.
Okay, so, this is more. When Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. So it was not Potiphar's wife who came up with this idea. It was Potiphar himself.
Be quiet, Mom. I'm doing Bible.
From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man, and Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Cummins, in the wrong way.
It was the girl that cried and screamed.
Yeah, she's about to try to be real bad to her husband and real bad to Joseph. She's an adulterer. Do you hear the Bible talk about an adulterer? She's making a major sin. But Joseph refused. Look, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He held back nothing from me except you because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked sin thing? It would be a great sin against God. She kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day. But he refused to sleep with her and he kept out of her way as much as possible. One day, however, no one else was around when he went to do his work. She came in and grabbed him by the cloak, demanding. Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand and he ran from the house. When she saw she was holding his cloak and he had fled, she called out to her servants. Okay, so she's screaming and she's telling a lie about Joseph now. And then Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's lie, but he didn't know it was a lie. He took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held, and he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison.
Sniff. Oh. Cinnamon.
And he made him a favorite with the prison ward. The Lord showed him his faithful love. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of anything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Hope and Luke come back. Joseph interprets two dreams. So Joseph's, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer was in prison there, right? And the chief baker, they offended the master. Pharaoh became angry and he put them in prison because they offended him. After lunch.
How did they offend Coke?
Okay, so the cupbearer and baker had a dream in the same night. Sit down at the table. Hope you're not reading a book right now.
Me? I'm watching.
No, you're fine because you're watching. Luke, sit at the table. Joseph saw them the next morning and he noticed they both looked upset. I told her no. You may not cry about that. I told Hope no.
Mommy.
What?
I'm just looking at these two.
Mom, I want to look at it. Those two.
I said no. And he noticed they both were upset. Why do you look so worried? And they replied, we both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean. Interpreting God's dreams is God's business, Joseph replied. Go ahead and tell me your dreams. Okay, so, Cade, it's time for your math.
Both of those dreams.
And Hope and... I also praise God because I have all these beautiful babies.
Dad, I want to go on that. My cereal.
Always. Once
Dad,
my baby, always my baby.
My cereal.
Once Dad, my baby, always my baby. Okay.
Rice Krispies for my cereal.
Identity statements.
Daddy, I want Rice Krispies for my cereal.
True identity for... Let's do Dad. Daddy.
I want my
Ian Cooper.
Dad.
All right. Well, I thank you, Jesus, that Daddy is God's gracious gift, weaving Daddy. Eternity we into his life. Luke. We recognize God's grace on his life and that he lives blamelessly before the Lord with integrity. We thank you, God, that Daddy is a diligent worker in his kingdom economy, making eternal investments.
Daddy,
he is secure because God himself perfects, confirms, strengthens, and establishes him. He knows he's loved because God calls him his own child. Therefore, he runs to you. And he knows his life is preparation for the seat that God has for him in heaven. He is called to bring back the rebels and set the captives free.
Mom
is praying.
Luke, it's not time for food at the table. Not with your books.
Mommy says no.
Daddy is a proclaimer. He could have them dry, but he just can't have them wet. Because
I want them dry.
You shouldn't have them at all. Mom.
I really am trying to pray. What do you need? I don't want you to play with the light at the table. Is that what you were asking me?
No.
Okay, what were you asking me?
You said I could come do the Rice Krispies. I gotta have some Rice Krispies.
You can have it dry, but you cannot have it wet with your workbooks here.
Dry.
Look at what happened to my computers. All of my technology is something wet. Daddy is a proclaimer.
Ew.
He has an amplifier. He shouts with a loud voice that Jesus is coming, and as he shouts, the waves of the ocean roar around him, and multitudes of people cry and bow before the Lord. He is shouting, "Repent, for the day of the Lord is coming. Come to Christ." Destiny has his name written in it by God. He raises his voice to proclaim the secrets and oracles of the Lord. He forgot about his past history. Because God erased it. He is new. He is in the new day. He is in the new season. And he is amplified by the hand of God. He walks on water just like Jesus did. And he keeps the word inside of him. We thank you that our family is centered on Christ. And that God is re-establishing relationships. People are coming back and forgiveness is coming. And the Lord is making it easy for us. We are quiet in the presence of God, and that gives us the job behind the scenes. We have a house of worship, stop Luke, and a praise of joy in the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit. God sees our hearts, and he decided to bless Daddy with ears to understand. It will be revelation, after day, week after week. Day after day and week after week. And the Lord is giving Daddy the...
Finally.
The... I don't know what that means. The environment, the things, and the ingredients to give him glory.
There.
Total justice will be served in his life. Daddy will be strong, mighty, and abundant in the grace of God. We have the mind of a creator. We want to put things together and make sure that they work out. Sometimes we could get frustrated because people beside us don't see what we see. But we are happy that God reveals to us the house. Because God called to make us not like them. The Lord will use us in the next 2 to 3 years as entrepreneurs. And the Lord has given us the keys to start something that's been in our hearts for years. And through us, God establishes our family as a people of worship and adoration who will bring the salvation of Christ to the ends of the earth. We will avail ourselves to regular prayer to sort out the speed at which we are moving. We will enter into a regular time of prayer and fasting to hear God. There will be a lot of demands on us from the anointing on us, but using prayer, fasting, and wise counsel from leadership, God will help us determine when and how to move. There will be a wake. What God does in our family will move like a wake to others. The things God is doing will fall into our hearts and we will be delighted by it. We will look forward to it like a junkie and like a fourth grader and say, "Okay, God, let's do it again. Let's move again. Let's do it again." We will want to move in the direction of the anointing to do the things God has called us to do. Daddy is a man who does not quench the spirit. We fully trust God, and we can hear his voice. We hear his voice. We absolutely hear God's voice. There was latent ministry in Daddy. It's been there, but it was snow. And the Lord came to him even as a boy, and there was a major snowbank sitting there. But God has changed the season. You are now, Daddy, addicted to spreading the gospel through music. God has put layers of the word in you, and he gives you fresh theological downloads. He gave you a new operating system, a whole new bandwidth, and your operating speed is going high speed. You're continually going to a whole new wavelength of delivery. Even the way that you talk changes to match the word of God. Yes.
And thank you, Daddy, for doing that. And thank you that he jumped so super high on the trampoline. And thank you, Daddy, loves us. And thank you.
Amen. And God has made you an exceptional public speaker.
Oh, yeah, I have a question.
There, if it's not prayer, don't say it. You have an edge to the way that you talk and a dry sense of humor that catches people off guard. You play with people's minds as a way to get to them, but it's holy. And you've trained your mind to do amazing things, and you're training your mind to be a workman of the word. Oh, that's the most awful noise. Rightly dividing the word. And there's going to be an onslaught of attack against the word of God. But God will use Daddy as a victorious apologist standing against modern philosophies and the ways of man. Daddy is a champion of the word of God. And God will use Daddy to teach seminars with audiovisual helpers. God gave Daddy a great capacity to help people visualize God's word. God is reloading the vision of the house. And Daddy gets to help people get a hold of that vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, without a vision, the people perish because they cast off all restraint. But God is taking us into greater impact of ministry, a greater leadership role. He will expose us and make us more public. There was a guy on a parachute that just jumped off an airplane. From very high, he descends and he trusts the parachute. God is going to bring a situation where we will have to jump. He will bring a situation where only God's power can bring us through. And he's asking us, where do we have to face a fear issue? God spoke to me and said, jump. God is asking if we have the courage to do it. Can we trust the godly parachute? Can we trust the Lord when we're completely dependent and have no human resources?
Yes.
It's just the gravity that could bring us down and kill us. But we have to trust that the parachute will work and we will land safely. God is going to challenge us. It will be a full challenge. It's like everything or nothing. And God will bring those challenges to us. And at some point, we will see it clearly. There is a challenge in front of us, and we should say yes. We have to trust that he will bring us through. And when you're in that situation of dependence, really depending on the parachute, he is going to help you make a safe landing. This is the word of God for you. God says, indeed, I'm going to challenge you because the development of your life is in no way ended. It has in no way ended. It's going to continue step by step by step, and you already know it will end in full-time ministry. You know it will end in full-time ministry. You know you will go to be the leader of a movement, something pastoral, something visionary, and it has to do with young people, but there are also old people there. And at some point, you will be faced with choices. And God says, do you have the courage to do it? Do you have the courage to go there? Will I become more dependent and not run by your old resources? Do you have the courage to say yes? You already know that you should say yes, but God will make it very clear and there will be no doubts. It will be his will when you are in that season. He will make it very clear to you and you will say yes. You'll be dependent. It will feel first like fear and pain. But once you have done it, the glory of God will be manifested on another level. I forgot about that word, Daddy. Did you? That's from Gordon, the last trip. That is big. Okay. So, Micah.
Yeah.
This is the word for you. Let me get it. You are secure and filled with inner peace because God chose you, adopted you. He will never reject you. And Jesus' blood is more than enough for you. You are redeemed, covered, and forgiven of every single sin. You belong and you're fully loved because Jesus prepared a place for you in Abba's house to be with him forever. Micah means who is like God. God has put his nature in you, and he's continually renewing you as you learn more about him and become like him. Blake means that you are God's pure one. You run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, you are always pursuing righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. You thoroughly enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. You keep pushing that back, and you're pushing all the stuff. If you keep doing it, you'll push the stuff off the table, Micah. All the stuff behind. You thoroughly enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. And since you are a cooper, you are a diligent worker. You are very careful to obey all the commands and instructions that Moses gave. You love the Lord your God. You walk in all his ways. You obey his commands. Hold firmly to him and serve him with all your heart and all your soul. Like Jesus, you are loyal, responsible, diligent, humble, flexible, faithful, enthusiastic, and you have the power to endure hard things. You have a significant impact on the world around you, your generation, and the future. The Lord tells you what is good. He empowers you to do right, to love mercy, and walk humbly with him. God teaches you to do to others as you would like them to do to you. You are truly significant. You know that the Lord has inscribed your name on his hands. God shines his light through you like a city on a hill. God is your inward source of strengths, gifts, talents, and he has given you self-control. You reject wrong desires and you do what is right. You're forgiving. You do not hold grudges. You are generous. You carefully manage your resources so you can freely give to those in need. You're gentle. You're grateful. You let others know by your words and actions how they've benefited you. You're hospitable. You're determined. You're truthful. You're wise. You're creative. You're just and bold. You take personal responsibility to uphold what is pure and true and right. You're tolerant. You accept others at different levels of maturity. You're compassionate. You invest whatever's necessary to heal the hurts of others. You make yourself available, which means you make your schedule and your priorities secondary to the wishes of those that you serve. You're enthusiastic. You express joy in every task, and you give it your best effort. You're patient. You accept difficult situations without giving deadlines to remove them. You're obedient. You yield to those who are responsible for you. And God has invested many gifts in you. You're prophetic, serving, a wise, patient teacher, a loving exhorter of others, a generous giver. You are a servant leader, a merciful friend with a cheerful heart. And your life is actually like jumping on a trampoline. The plan is that with God, you will go higher and bigger than you would go alone. When you follow God, he uses you. Your life is also teaching. One day you could be a professor and teach younger people, but you also have an anointing for business and an anointing for discernment. You can tell what's good from what's not good, and you can call out the difference. You are blessed that the Lord would give you the desires of your heart. So your heart is also pure. You will be a great father. You will have a love for the next generation. You will be a leader for your very generation with amazing businesses. You have an entrepreneurial anointing for new ideas and all kinds of imaginative creativity and thoughts about what could be. You will see the steps of what needs to be done to fulfill that vision. You love to help everybody, and you will find sufficiency knowing that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God has given you authority over the power of the enemy. Okay, Cade, this one is for you. You are secure. God gave you inner peace because he chose you. He adopted you, and he will never reject you. You can find grace and mercy in every time of need. You belong, and you know you're loved because you are precious to God, precious to our family, precious to everyone around you. Cade means sturdy. You hold an honorable position. You are a man whose life is above reproach. You will be faithful to your wife. You exercise self-control, you live wisely, and you have a good reputation. You enjoy having guests in your home, and you are able to teach. You will not drink alcohol, and you are not violent. You are really gentle. You are a peacemaker, and you put God first. You will manage your family well, and you will have children who respect and obey you. And this qualifies you to take care of God's church. Joseph means you're a man of increasing faithfulness. You are wise. You're known for your understanding and pleasant words that are persuasive for the cause of Christ. And since you are a cooper, you are also a diligent worker. You are very careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave. You love the Lord your God. You walk in all his ways. You obey his commands. You hold firmly to him and serve him with all your heart and all your soul. Like Jesus, you are diligent, kind, nice, and good. You have a significant impact on the world around you, your generation, and the future. You make every single effort to respond to God's promises. You supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. You supplement moral excellence with knowledge. Knowledge with self-control. Self-control with patient endurance. Patient endurance with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love for everybody. Even when you walk in the darkest valley, you will not be afraid because Abba himself is close beside you. His rod and his staff protect and comfort you. You are truly significant because you are God's co-worker. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. You are living a life of kindness. You are loving, gentle, caring, and you love helping people in need. God created you to be very virtuous, and moral excellence is evident in your life. You consistently do what is right in God's sight. You are truthful, and you earn trust by accurately reporting facts. You eagerly do what is right with transparent motives. You are sensitive, and you use your senses to perceive the truth and attitudes and emotions of others. You have self-control from Jesus' spirit. You reject wrong desires and do what is right. You structure your life on that which cannot be destroyed. You are orderly. You arrange yourself and your surroundings to achieve greater efficiency. You quickly and cheerfully carry out the directions from those who are responsible for you. You are faithful. You're confident that actions rooted in good character yield the best outcomes, even when you can't see how. You have amazing endurance and the inward strength to withstand stress and do your best. You are discerning, understanding the deeper reasons why things happen. You are benevolent, and you give to others basic needs without having your own motives as a personal reward. You are particularly loyal, using difficult times to demonstrate your commitment to those that you serve. God has invested many gifts in you. You are prophetic, serving, a wise and patient teacher, a loving exhorter of others, a generous giver, a servant leader, a merciful friend, and you have a cheerful heart. Now your life is like climbing a very tall ladder with a great big slide that you get to slide down. You climb those stairs and you take the slide down so many times, and it means that you try again and try again and try again, and you never give up. The Lord always is encouraging you. Things can be hard sometimes, but God tells you, try again, try again. Try again, because when you try hard, you slide down, and it will always be fun when you slide down. Before you slide down, first you have to climb. God has ideas about your life. He wants you to be a leader for other people, and you have the very qualities to be a good leader, a manager, a governor, a pastor, a lawyer, or even a judge. And you're so smart. God gave you a fine brain that thinks fine thoughts, and God will use you in mighty ways. God will help you make decisions. He will give you an extended education. You will have strength of will and strength of heart, and God teaches you how to overcome. He increases your perseverance and endurance to push through many things. You will help others learn to push through those many same things, and you have a blessing on the shepherding gift in your life. The kindness of heart already in you is increasing, and you have a compassion in your life that's unrivaled in your family. All connections in your brain are remade and reformed where it's needed, and you are made perfect in the image of God. I thank you, God, for giving my Cade this fine mind and how you're helping him overcome. The connections of your hand have been miraculously healed, reconnected, and regenerated in nerve endings and connections to the brain. And you are a very strong, very kind young man. You love to help everybody. And you find sufficiency knowing that the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say and remind you of Jesus' words. The Holy Spirit fills you and is working through you daily. Your father is going to be some kind of pastor at some point, but you also, you will father your father, follow your father and be that kind of pastor, but you already know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Hopi, here's your naked angel. Yeah, I know. That's the angel you chose. But you, when you chose it, you giggled and you said, it's a naked angel. You are secure.
No, it actually has a scope.
You I'll are secure. No, he's got,
it's
yes. I see it.
It's a kill.
You are secure, enjoying inner peace because God is your refuge and your great deliverer. Jesus is your shepherd and the guardian of your soul. You know you belong and you're loved because Jesus himself advocates for you before the throne of God, and you are hidden with Christ in God. Hope means
hope.
Trustworthy.
Anchor to our souls.
The hope of Jesus is a strong and trustworthy anchor for your soul. It leads you through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary.
What is inner sanctuary?
It's like where he is. It's the very place where he is. God has given you great courage. You are protected and you will always find rest and safety in Jesus. Eileen means you are light. Jesus makes your innocence radiate like the dawn. Listen, and the justice of his cause will shine through you like the noonday sun. And since you are a cooper, you are also a diligent worker. Very careful to obey all the commands and instructions that Moses gave. You love the Lord your God. You walk in all his ways. You obey his commands and hold firmly to him and serve him with all your heart and all your soul. And like God, you are good. God uses you to advance his purposes on this earth. You find sufficiency because God is your inward source of gifts, talents, and strengths. You're gifted with sensitivity, and you use your senses to perceive the true attitudes and emotions of others. You are meek. You know the power God gave you, but you use that power, listen, in submission to him. What was your question? You yield your personal rights and expectations with a desire to serve God. When you need to speak up and be bold, you are courageous, and you ask the Holy Spirit when and how to represent him. You represent God well. You are a powerful prayer warrior. God uses you to intercede for others, bringing healing and deliverance. You also give those around you courage to face their problems as you lift them up, speaking truth into their soul. You are significant. You are God's much beloved bride and daughter, seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. And you are his temple. He sees what you do for him in secret, and he knows you and loves you best. God is excited to spend eternity with you. God made you to be the exact right fit for your family, your generation, and this very time in history. God has invested many gifts in you. You're prophetic, serving, a wise and patient teacher, a loving exhorter of others, a generous giver, a servant leader, a merciful friend with a cheerful heart, and you love to help everybody. There's a vision of you by the seaside with a fishing rod catching fish, increasing God's harvest everywhere you go. You are an evangelist. God wants to use you to connect with people and bring them to Jesus. God says you are a wonderful person and he loves you very much. You are being trained by God to run with the men. You have leadership on your life, Hope. When you say to people, when you say things to people, they want to do what you say. You're a really good friend, and you have lots of good friends. And you were imparted a gift from Dr. Kim Moss. A gift.
Who's Dr. Kim Moss?
A God is stirring a gift in you up to be a bold leader, a risk taker, who's not afraid to say what you think, and step out into the things that God thinks, the things that God says to you. You have a prophetic gift, and your ears are open to hear God's voice and dream dreams at a very young age. God tells you to be gentle to your siblings, and he has given you the power to obey him in all seasons. And you find sufficiency knowing that the Holy Spirit fills you and is working through you daily, and you are made complete in Christ, and God's grace is sufficient for you, and his strength is made perfect in your weaknesses. And God has given you authority over the enemies of his kingdom. Okay, now even though Luke is not here, you guys want to...
He's right on the couch.
Is he? Uh-oh. Okay, I'm going to do Luke's. Okay, let's see. Lukey Pookey.
Lukey Pookey.
Lukey
Pookey. Lukey Pookey. Mom, that's mine.
This is yours coming up.
Which one? No.
Okay, here.
Ow. This is the rainbow.
Oh, this is the rainbow. Showing. Yeah. Okay. You are secure with inner peace because...
We're all secure with inner peace, as the thing says.
You are. It's true. As your good father, God is taking care of all your needs, Luke. You know you're loved because Jesus has prepared a place for you in your father's house to be with him forever. Luke means you are God's enlightened one. You know what to do, for God has given you understanding. Robert means you are of excellent worth. God made you able to climb his mountains, to stand in his holy place. You have hands and hearts that are pure. You put God first and always tell the truth. And since you're a Cooper, you're always a diligent worker. You are careful to obey all the commands and the instructions Moses gave. You love the Lord your God. You walk in all his ways, obey his commands, hold firmly to him, and serve him with all your heart and all your soul. And like Jesus, you are loving. You find significance knowing that God reveals himself through you. You are one of Jesus' successful soldiers. God says you were born to be a warrior, God's fighter, dressed in his armor with strong character. You don't give up. When you know what God wants, you go for it. God uses you to be a fighter for justice, a fighter for Jesus, and a fighter for positive things. You just simply never give up. You have the gift of healing. You received a blessing from God to rebuke all allergies and affliction. Your ears have been open and you dream sweet dreams. God is your inward source of gifts, talents, and strengths. He has given you self-control, Luke. You reject wrong desires and do what is right. And God has invested many gifts in you too. Like your siblings, you are a prophetic, serving, a wise and patient teacher, a loving exhorter of others, a generous giver, a servant leader, a merciful friend, and you have a cheerful heart. And you also like to help everybody. You find sufficiency knowing God will perfect what he's begun in you. You are a boy who opens all kinds of things and drawers. You want to know what's in there. You want to investigate what's there. You're a researcher of the scriptures. You are someone who wants to know everything from God. You want to understand everything, and you are curious about everything. You want to know every secret, and in this case, it's directed towards the things of God. Your word, you are someone who researches the scriptures, and you want to discover things just like your mommy. You want to know everything, and you are significant in prayer and in life, and we ask, when you ask, and you receive, and when you seek, you find, and when you knock, the doors are opened for you, Luke. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Praise God for that.
Okay.
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 Okay, now let's hear victories. You guys want to hear victories?
Yeah. This is the cutest one.
He's the what?
He's the cutest one.
He's the cutest? Oh, let's see if I have from...
Because why would we ever forget him?
We would never forget that, baby. Okay, he's the little baby. Oh, wait.
Still.
It's still like glitching. Okay, let's try again. Okay. That's his little picture.
Which Jedi has green blood?
Ooh. Still acting funny. It's not doing it. Okay, but anyway, I'll read it. Where is the thing?
There's an answer on there.
What is happening?
Yes.
I can't even see the arrow. Oh no. My computer's really glitching.
Which character was sent to deliver the stolen Death Star plans to
Obi-Wan? Okay, I gotta restart it. And then I'll find it here. So weird. Let's try it here. And then let's look for that baby's true identity victory. Victory is secure. He is inner peace because he has been given power, love, hope, you're being rude, and a sound mind. His life is built on the rock, the words of Jesus. He belongs. He knows he's loved because God cares for him as he casts his cares on God, and Jesus advocates for him before the throne of God. Victory means victory is living a victorious life, and he thanks God continually.
Victory means victory.
God gives victory, victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. John means he is God's gracious gift. The Lord smiles on him and is gracious to him. And since he is a cooper, guess what? He is also a diligent worker. He's very careful to obey all the commands and instructions that Moses gave. He loves the Lord his God. He walks in all his ways. He obeys his commands, holds firmly to him, and serves him with all his heart and all his soul. And like Jesus, he does what the Father says. He will work in the supernatural, the unexpected, and see miracles follow the words of the Father, which give life to the broken. He knows his significance in this life and in God's eternal kingdom. He is God's child, and as such, he successfully defeats this evil world and achieves this victory through faith. Victory surely wins spiritual battles against the world because he believes that Jesus is the Son of God. He finds significance knowing that he is God's workmanship, and he is also a minister of reconciliation. He is pleasant, always pulling himself up. He will always want the things and people around him and himself to be further developed. His source of protection is found in the Word of God, and he carefully guards his heart and mind against modern philosophies of the day. He knows there are two kinds of wisdom, earthly and godly. Luke, he knows development is desperately needed. Development of the gifts of the Spirit, listening to God and the way we deal with people. He lives his life being near God, so he's like Jesus who grew up under the law. But because victory has wisdom based on intimacy with God, Jesus was above the law. God uses victory to develop the world out of its old cliches and little rules and tired principles and find the ancient way with God again. So he will seek to develop a relationship with God on a level most people don't reach. He will be a real man of God, an investigator. He will get to know God on a deeper level than most people, to hear from him and move in power. He has a desire to outgrow limitations. God's warrior spirit is on victory, and he will run to and fro all over the earth bringing the gospel. His beautiful feet that bring the good news of Jesus are blessed. And God has invested many gifts in victory. He is prophetic, serving, a wise and patient teacher, a loving exhorter of others, a generous giver, a servant leader, a merciful friend with a cheerful heart, and he loves to help everybody. He finds sufficiency knowing that abiding in Jesus, he will bear much fruit. And greater is he who is in victory than he who is in the world. Do you want to hear mommy's The last one?
Yeah.
True identity, identity, mama. Okay. Okay, let's see. I am secure and filled with inner peace, knowing God Himself perfects, confirms, strengthens, and establishes me. I know I am loved because God Himself calls me His own child, and I am chosen, adopted, and precious to Him. And best of all, God wants to spend eternity with me. Because I approach God as a little child, knowing I do not hold the answers within myself, God gives me a discerning heart to govern those He gives me, with an ability to distinguish the truth. I have a simple faith to hear and accept what God says. He says, my life will be long, instructed in the ways of wisdom, and led on straight paths. So I walk unhampered and run without stumbling. I hold onto God's instructions and do not let go. I guard it well, knowing it's my life. I find sufficiency, knowing that as God's own child, He has given me authority over all the power of the enemy. God opens my eyes and daily enlightens me to fully act on the hope that He gives me for the future, fully engaging His great power to obtain the riches of His glorious inheritance for myself and others. And because I listen faithfully to God, He gives me His word to speak truthfully, to affirm, mobilize, and bring others into their calling. God gives me an expansive capacity to organize, lead, and intercede for His projects and people, especially women and mothers, young adults, and the next generation. Like Peter, I am passionate and bold without holding back. God uses even my mistakes to push me into greater ways of being and as example for others. I find significant knowing that God shines brightly His light through me like a city on a hill that is visible to many. Robin means excellent worth. I'm a woman of excellent worth, living on His mountain and eating the sweet things He gives me. I stand secure on God's holy hill with clean hands and a pure heart, trusting in Jesus and obeying His Spirit on all occasions. I lean means light, and I wear the breastplate of God's righteousness, shining like the dawn, with His torch upheld, partnering with Him to vindicate His children like the noonday sun. And since I am a Cooper, I am also a diligent worker. I am very careful to obey all the commands and the instructions Moses gave. I love the Lord my God. I walk in all His ways. I obey His commands, hold firmly to Him, and serve Him with all my heart and soul.
As Grandma does. Yeah. And Aunt Carly and
they don't.
Oh.
It's Grandma, you, and me. We are entrepreneurs. I have artistic ability. I will write things down. Publishers will line up to get my writings, which will be translated into many languages. God will use me to bring the blessings of mighty God to the body of Christ through best-selling books. Nations and young people will be equipped by these writings and speakings, and the fluency the Holy Spirit has given me to bless this generation. God is preparing our children for greater things. God hears me. I pray inside, yelling from the inside, and my heart cries out to God all the time. But my children are God's inheritance in my life, and God is going to fix things back home, reconstruct and rebuild a bridge to communicate with both sides of the river. God uses me like a sickle in the wheat field to befriend people for His kingdom, handpicked by Him, one by one. God says He's invested a lot in me. He says I'm preparing, I am intelligent, social, and wise, and I will be preparing, designing, facilitating, and organizing others and myself to broadcast the gospel in a studio. God says, fear not, because the future has already been designed. As I walk in the will of God, I will walk peacefully into my future. God will carry the stress, not me. The passion for what we have in our children has been covenantly transferred to our children. And even in the callings and strengths for our children, Ian and I are fire and ice. I am fire, and there is a toughness and a strength in Ian like a glacier that won't be broken. He does not rush into things, but when he does, watch out. I am a fiery daughter. I have been blessed afresh by the Holy Spirit and the peace of the Holy Spirit. And I am ready for disappointments when people are not who I hope they are, won't do or say what I hope for, and I can let them go. I'll find those that are hungry and thirsty and pour into them. We are a treasure wherever we go. We are excavators. We dig into the ground, cut through rocks and broken soil, and plant wherever we go. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit has been activated in us at a greater level. We've been set apart. God has an army. Our children are our arrows. My immune system has been cleansed by God, and I am so strong for the tough work which is to come. The Father rejoices in who we are. I don't worry about circumstances, nor that which I heard about me. God has the last word. I live upon his word and not people's mouths. There is a well of things God built up in us before marriage and children that is valuable and a rare skill set that will be tapped into in a new way. People or businesses of influence will look to me for answers and counsel based on what God has built in me over time and used to refine me to handle certain situations without them tossing me to and fro because of the journey. God is pleased with the sacrifices I've made for my family and children. I have two train engines, both going, and I have joy in both. There is an angelic presence of worship around me that when people get into the bubble of light, they feel happiness, like when you walk into a kitchen with cookies baking. We will get a lot of prophetic insight in our lives. We will keep track of it and repeat it to each other. A lot of God speaking into our lives. God is giving us milestones along the way of a process that he's prepared for us. He will speak to us on a regular basis through trusted prophetic individuals. And every time there's a fork in the road, we will wait and listen. We are fast track. God moves us along at a faster pace, double clutch. We want his will to be done to sort out the speed at which we're moving. We will enter into a regular time of prayer and fasting to hear God. There will be a lot of demands on us from the anointing on us. Prayer and fasting and leadership will help us determine when and how to move. There will be a wake, and what God does in us will move like a wake to others. God will connect people to us to take care of the details, and I will let them. They will pick up parts of our lives and run with it. God is taking us into greater impact of ministry, a greater leadership role. He will expose and make us more public. And every once in a while, I will get a microphone, but I should tether it because I can take off. I'm a dreamer. I like to get in the upper deck. I need to be around people and express the first thing that pops into my mind. I could be an interviewer and help them see vision. I ask questions in layers with subtopics and bullet points. I'm loaded with inquiry, and I ask God first. Pester God. I pester him because I get answers. If I go to God with questions, he will always come back with answers. And there are ideas that I've obtained from the marketplace, and I have the ability to be in the world but not of it. I catch very edgy current news around the world, and I get a chance to touch a global picture sometimes of what God is up to in nations and in technology. And I import those for the use of the gospel and for the use of the church and for the use of moving people. I know how the world moves people and inundates them with tools and information, and I move that into the church. Sometimes the church is slow to adapt. God wants me to be an innovator that updates the body of Christ and keeps them on the edge. I'll be preaching in a different way, using the world's technology for God. I'll be powerfully used to market the gospel, have an amazing ability to reach the mind of the 21st century person, and an incredible, powerful sway with the next generation. They will have a hard time keeping up with me, but I will set the pace, God will set the pace, and they will catch up. We will lead people into the whole new era called Church 2.0. I honor the Lord in all seasons as a royal woman of faith who believes and declares God's unseen will come into fruition. I distill decisions into their key factors and quickly finalize difficult decisions with wisdom, upholding godly attitudes even in unpleasant conditions. I am giving a lasting legacy to the world through this family, through each of you. I gently teach our children with excellence, exponentially benefiting God's kingdom and family with blessings for 1,000 generations. And through me, God establishes my children and their lineage as a people of worship and adoration who will bring salvation of Christ to the ends of the earth. We will avail ourselves to regular prayer. Oh, I added your stuff here. Cade is so smart. He has a fine brain. He thinks fine thoughts. He knows for sure how God will use K Cade in mighty ways. God will help Cade make decisions and give him an extended education, strength of will, strength of heart already put in him, learning to overcome, increasing in perseverance and endurance to push through many things, and the things that will help others learn to push through. We bless the shepherding gift of his life. We ask for kindness of heart already in him, that it would increase, and he would have compassion on his life unrivaled in his family, and all of the connections of his brain are made perfect, remade, reformed where needed, and he is made perfect in God's image. I thank you for his fine mind and how you're helping him overcome everything. We ask the connection in his hand would come now, be healed, reconnected, regenerated in every nerve ending and connections to the brain. What a very strong, very kind young man. Hope is being trained to run with the men. She's got leadership on her life. When we say people do things, they want to do what she says. She's going to be a really good friend and have lots of good friends. She stirs up gifts as an impartation, as a bold leader, a risk taker who's not afraid to say what she thinks, to step out into the things that God thinks and the things God is saying to her. And she has a prophetic gift. Her very ears are open to hear God's voice and dream dreams at a young age. And Micah has an anointing for business and discernment. He can tell what's not good from what is good and call out the difference. He asks the Lord to bless him, to give him the desires of his heart. And he will be a great father, have a love for the next generation, be a leader for this generation, an amazing businessman, an entrepreneurial anointing for new skills and all kinds of imaginative creativity and thoughts about what could be, to see the steps of what needs to be done and fulfill that vision. Amen.
Mom,
what?
Can I have some Rice Krispies with milk? Because there's no
26 for you guys.
Okay. No, and then we're done?
Yeah, then you're done. Okay, Psalm 26. So get your notebooks out. Go to your notebook. By David. Okay, let's see if I can project this now. Do you guys like hearing your true identities? Go.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, it's great.
It's great. It's good to get those reminders from me. I need reminders. No, you can't because I'm going to be teaching you. Okay, get your notebook or your paper. Okay, this is Psalm 26. Let's write.
I don't have any pages.
26. Use one of those. Hopefully these are all pages. These are all pages. It's okay that there's a pink dot on it. Here. Okay. Psalm 26. This is by David, so you can write his name. But why do we read Psalms?
Because it's good.
We're learning how to think like a king.
Exactly.
And we can say these prayers because they're in the Bible. They're holy. He says, "Judge me, O Jehovah, for I in my integrity have walked, and in Jehovah I have trusted. I slide not." What does he mean there?
He means that he's not going to waver from God.
That's right. Okay, so let's... he said... How could we represent this? I, Jehovah, for I in mine integrity have walked.
Can you please help me write what you writed?
Yeah, you can write Psalm.
But I want you...
write P. I'll tell you the letters.
Can you dot it?
You can make a capital P. You know how to do that. Look. P, S, look, watch, S, what's next?
A?
Mm-hmm. What is that? Mm-hmm. L.
M.
Psalm. And then, which one are we doing?
Two.
Mm-hmm, 20.
Six.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
What about the other one?
David? We'll do that one first. He's going to walk in integrity. So let's write integrity on the path. He's on the street called integrity. Boys.
Yeah.
I'm giving you instructions. Integrity. Okay, and he's happy because he's walking in integrity. He can say this to God honestly. He said he slid not. He's trusted in Jehovah. We can write a little speech bubble.
Did it.
Good.
Now can you write David?
All right. Trust. Okay. Let's do David. Ready?
I wrote slid not in the speech bubble.
You read what? Slid not? Okay. A. Id. David.
David.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he said, "Try me, O Jehovah, and prove me. Purified are my reins and my heart." What does he mean? He must really be confident that he's in right standing before God if he's telling God he can try him.
Try me.
Do you think you can say that to God?
Yeah. No.
Are you that confident?
No.
You can say, "Try me, God."
Do I write an I?
David, yeah. He said, try me.
I'm going to get something to eat, okay?
No, because we're doing this. Try me. We're almost ready for lunch. How would you say try me? How could you test somebody? Like draw a picture of a test?
Let's see, test with a F on it.
No, because he's going to get an A.
Test with an A plus on it.
Okay, here's a piece of paper. This is a test. And David says to God, try me. He says, prove me. Purified are my reins and my heart. Why does he call it his reins? What could that mean? Do you guys know?
No.
Purified are my reins and my heart. I think I love that David could say that. And God, I ask that you would make my family that pure before you, that we could say, try me and test me.
Write it so clearly.
What?
The A+.
I don't know. I mean, but I have a skinny thing to write with. Mm-hmm. He said, put me on trial, Lord. Cross-examine me. Test my motives and my heart. For I am always aware of your unfailing love, and I have lived according to your truth. So he says here, for your kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked habitually in thy truth. I like that he says habitually, because that means he's making a choice over and over again, a habit to tell the truth. Did you guys know it's a habit?
Mama, look.
To make the truth?
I'm making him cool.
Oh, yeah, he's cool. Okay, so it's a habit. Let's write habit. Habit to do the truth. That's a hard habit to develop. Who struggles with that habit? Do you sometimes struggle? I think a lot of people struggle with that habit. Let's say, dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
Help me.
Help me.
Build the habit.
Build the habit.
Of telling the truth.
Of telling the truth.
Make me.
Make me.
A lover of the truth.
A lover of the truth.
A lover of the truth.
Amen.
Amen.
Good job. Okay, so then he says, I have not sat with vain men, and with disassemblers, I enter not. That means that he said, I don't spend time with liars or go along with hypocrites. So what kind of friends does David make sure are around him?
Good ones.
Honest friends, yeah? Okay. He says, I have hated the assembly of evildoers, and with the wicked I sit not. He means, I hate the gatherings of those who do evil. I refuse to join with the wicked. Let's draw a table down here of some wicked guys. And we're going to make them kind of, honestly, wicked people are unhappy. They may think that they're happy, but they're not. So I'm going to draw a table of some unhappy dudes or girls, because girls can also be wicked. And we can make their arms down here. This guy,
and one of them is banging on it.
Yeah, this guy can have his arms folded. Maybe she'll be banging her fist on the table, right? She's like angry. Right? So you can draw a picture of angry people. And David is saying, hey, I'm not with them. Let's draw a line of separation. He's not going to sit with them. He said, I wash my hands I wash in innocency my hands, and I compass thine altar, O Jehovah.
And he washes them in God's blood.
He says, I wash my hands to declare my innocence, and I come to your altar, O Lord. I like that, how you said that. Let's draw an altar, however you want to picture the altar. You draw an altar. I'm going to draw mine with horns, because that's what, like, kind of God pictured in one of the scenes of the Bible, his altar. I guess his would be, like, probably gold or fancy, maybe. But this is where David goes. He says, I go to the altar, and I make sure that my hands are innocent. That means that he prays. You guys get it? Mm-hmm. He repents. People that are innocent, it doesn't mean they never do wrong things, right? Because mm-hmm. everybody does wrong things. It just means that they pray and they say, God, okay, help me. You know, help me change. And
why does horns make it an altar?
It doesn't make it an altar. It just is a picture of one of the altars that God has, that there were horns on it. Well, an altar is any place that you're going to go make a sacrifice for the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. He says, I wash my hands to declare my innocence. I compass thine altar, O Jehovah. That means that he comes to the altar. He's singing a song of thanksgiving. So let's draw some music notes above him. He's being thankful. He's telling of all God's wonders. So let's draw a little speech bubble. And you can...
Did it.
Good. Oh, I like it. You can draw little words of him saying God's wonders. And he tells God, I love your sanctuary, the place where your glorious presence dwells. He said, Jehovah...
Aha! I know!
He said...
Jehovah!
I love the habitation of thy house... And the place of the tabernacle of thine honor. That's the inner sanctuary that you asked about. Right, Hopi? That's the inner sanctuary you asked about. You said, what's the inner sanctuary? It's where God inhabits. He lives there. For he hideth me in a tabernacle in the day of evil. He hideth me in a secret place of his tent. On a rock he raiseth me up. Okay, so this is another way. I love your sanctuary, Lord, the place where your presence dwells.
But no demon can hear my sanctuary that I made.
Okay. Now let's, because God is hiding David in the sanctuary, let's build a sanctuary around him. And he says, you hideth me in the secret place of your tent.
No demon knows the passcode.
That's right.
Only the good ones.
That's true.
I was following.
There are no good demons.
Only the good people?
Yeah.
On the rock, he says, on a rock he raiseth me up. So let's draw a rock underneath David when he's at the altar. On a rock he raiseth me up, and now lifted up is my head above my enemies, my surroundings. And I sacrifice in his tent, sacrifices of shouting. I sing. Yea, I sing praise to Jehovah. And we already did David singing, right? Mm. But you could draw some extra music notes if you want. Because his song goes long. He praises God just like we do. We say, thank you, Jesus. You are the best. The name above every other names, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Okay, and he says, hear, O Jehovah, my voice, I call, and favor me and answer me. To thee, said my heart, they sought my face, thy face, O Jehovah, I seek. So what is he saying to God?
I seek you.
Yeah, he says, I seek you. Hide not thy face from me, turn not aside in anger. Thy servant, my help thou hast been. Leave me not, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. What is he crying out to God?
I'm forsaken.
Don't get angry with me. Don't hide your face from me. You've been my help. Don't ever leave me or forsake me. So even while he's praising God, he's telling God, here's what I need from you, right? That's what David's saying. Don't let me suffer the fate of sinners. Don't condemn me with the murderers.
Their hands are dirty with evil schemes, and they constantly take bribes, but I am not like that. Right?
Yeah.
He said, I live with integrity, so redeem me and show me mercy. Now I stand on solid ground, and I will publicly praise the Lord. So, and he even says, when my father and my mother have forsaken me, then doth Jehovah gather me. So what is he saying to God? Even if you're, even if people are against me, like whoever they are, you, God, are not against me. That's exactly right. He says, I live integrity, so redeem me and show me mercy. And I will stand on solid ground and publicly praise the Lord. That is still like David saying, hey, I'm on the ground called integrity, right? Like right here,
Mama, I'm on solid ground.
Oh, okay.
You have to spin the wheel the right way, yeah. Like the Satan's